become pleasing.
Become pleasing.
At home.
At home.
Yasampada.
Yasampada.
All house of paraphernalia.
All house of paraphernalia.
Yari.
Yari.
Yuna.
Na.
Na.
Sha.
Sha. There is.
There is.
Grave.
Grave.
At home.
At home.
Mata.
Mata.
Mother.
Mother.
Patni.
Patni.
Wife.
Wife.
Or Pati Devata,
Pati Devata,
devoted to the husband,
devoted to the husband,
young day,
without wheel,
Rate, in a chariot,
Eva,
like, Pragya, a learned man,
Ka,
who is that?
Who is that? Dama,
indeed,
Asita,
would sit,
Dinabat,
like a poverty stricken creature,
like a poverty stricken creature.
Translation, King Pranjana said, I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before. I think that if there is neither a mother nor a devoted wife at home, the home is like a chariot without wheels. Where is the fool who will sit down on such an unworkable chariot? Remember the great politician Chanakya Pandit said, Mata yasya grihena stivarya chakriya vadini Aranyam Kain Kantavya Itaranya Tatagriham. If a person has neither a mother nor a pleasing wife at home, he should leave home and go to the forest, because for him there is no difference between the forest and home. The real mata or mother is devotional service of the Lord, and the real patni or devoted wife is a wife who helps her husband execute religious principles and devotional service. These two things are required for a happy home. Actually, a woman is supposed to be the energy of the man. Historically, in the background of every great man, there is either a mother or a wife. One's household life is very successful if he has a good wife and mother. In such a case, everything about household affairs, all the paraphernalia in the home, house, becomes very pleasing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had both a good mother and a pleasing wife, and he was very happy at home. Nonetheless, for the benefit of the whole human race, he took sannyas and left both his mother and wife. In other words, it is essential that one have a good mother and wife in order to become perfectly happy at home. Otherwise, home life has no meaning. Unless one is religiously guided by intelligence and renders devotional service under the Supreme Personality of God, his home can never become very pleasing to a saintly person. In other words, if a man has a good mother or a good wife, there is no need for his taking sannyas. That is unless it's absolutely necessary, as it was for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kindly let me know whereabouts of that beautiful woman who always saves me when I am drowning in an ocean of danger. Giving me good intelligence to take a step, she always saves me. Therefore, there is no difference between a good wife and good intelligence. One who possesses good intelligence can deliberate properly and save himself from any dangerous conditions. In material existence, there is a danger at every step. The Srimad Bhagavatam is said, padam param yadvipadam intesham. The material world is not actually a place of residence for an intelligent person or a devotee, because there is a danger at every step. Vaikuntha is a real home for the devotee, for there is no anxiety and no danger. Good intelligence means becoming Krishna conscious. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Krishna Bhaji Sai Bhara Taktur. Unless one is Krishna consciousness, he can't be called an intelligent person. Herein we see that King Paranjana was searching after his good wife, who always helped him out of the dangerous situations that always occur in material existence. As already explained, a real wife is Dharma Patni, that is, a woman accepted in marriage by ritualistic ceremonies called Dharma Patni, which signifies that she is accepted in terms of religious principles. Children born of Dharma Patni are a woman married according to religious principles and inherit the property of the father, but the children born of a woman who is not married properly married do not inherit the father's property. The word Dharma Patni also refers to a chaste wife. A chaste wife is one who never had any connection with men before her marriage. Once a woman is given the freedom to mingle with all kinds of men in her youth, it is very difficult for her to keep chaste. She generally cannot remain chaste. And butter is brought into the proximity of fire. It melts. A woman is like fire and man is like the butter. But if one gets a chaste wife, except if through a religious marriage ritual, she can be a great help when one is threatened by the many dangerous situations of life. Marrying such a wife can become a source of all good intelligence. For such a good wife, the family's engagement in devotional service to the Lord actually makes a home like Riya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, house of dedicated spiritual cultivation. All the women addressed the king, O master of citizens, we do not know why your dear wife has taken on this sort of existence. O killer of enemies, kindly look. She's lying on the ground without bedding. We cannot understand why she's acting like in this way. Kripur, when a person is devoted to devotional service of Vishnu Bhakti, takes too many sinful activities. King Pranja left home, neglected his own wife, and engaged himself in killing animals. This is the position of all materialistic men. They do not care for a married, chaste wife. They take the wife only as an instrument for senseless enjoyment, and not as a means for devotional service. To have unrestricted sex life, the karmis work very hard. They have concluded that the best course is to have sex with any woman and pay the price for her, although she, as though she were a mercantile commodity. Thus they engage their energy in working very hard for such material acquisition. Such materialistic people have lost their good intelligence. They must search out their intelligence within the heart. A person who does not have a chaste wife accepted by religious principles always has a bewildered intelligence. The wife of King Brahmana was lying on the ground because she was neglected by her husband. Actually, the woman must always be protected by her husband. We always speak of the goddess of fortune as being placed on the chest of Narayana. In other words, the wife must remain embraced by her husband. Thus she becomes beloved and well protected. Just as one saves his money and places it under his own personal protection, one should similarly protect his wife by his own personal supervision. Yes, and as intelligence is always within the heart, so a beloved chaste wife should always have her place on the chest of a good husband. This is the proper relationship between husband and wife. The wife is therefore called Ardha Kundalini, or half the body. You cannot remain with only one leg, one hand, or only one side of the body. You must have two sides. Similarly, according to nature's way, husband and wife should live together. In the lower species of life, among birds and animals, it seems that by nature's arrangement, husband and wife live together. It is similarly ideal in human life for the husband and wife to live together. The home should be a place for devotional service, and the wife should be chaste and sanctified by a ritualistic ceremony. In this way, one can become happy at home. Translation, King Brahman says, I do not understand why my household paraphernalia does not attract me as before. I think that if there is neither a mother nor daughter and wife at home, a home is like a chariot without wheels, where the fool will sit down such an unworkable chariot. And let me know the whereabouts of that beautiful woman who always saves me when I am drowning in the ocean of danger. By giving me good intelligence for every step, she always saves me. All the women addressed the king. Oh, Master, this is, we do not know why your dear wife has taken on this sort of existence. Oh, killer of enemies, kindly look. She is lying on the ground without bedding. We do not understand why she's acting in this way. So, here we see that the wife of King Paranjana is not cooperating with the husband, and that is represented by her lamentation. She is lying on the ground without any bedding, etc. So this expresses the fact that she is discontent with the husband. And why? Of course, one reason is that King Pranjana went out to do the hunting and committing sinful activities, etc. So, you see that there is some dissatisfaction on the part of the real intelligence. Intelligence is neglected, and instead one follows one's senses and desires and indulges in all sorts of unproductive sinful activities, represented by Pranjana going out and hunting without restriction. So as a result of this, then the wife fell into lamentation, which means the intelligence was not cooperating, not in a very good mood. In other words, intelligence should be utilized properly, and then there is a good relationship between the mind, the senses, intelligence, and the jiva. And if the intelligence is not used properly, then we end up with a type of dissension. There's a disagreement there. So in this way we see the intelligence was not cooperating with the husband because of the problems. So we see in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says the sense objects are there, and then higher than that are the senses. Higher than the senses, the mind. Higher than the mind is the intelligence. And higher than the intelligence is the Atma. So that, of course, is in terms of we have spiritual on top, and then we have subtle material, and we have grosser material things. And then in this way we get down to the objects of this material world. All of them are material, except the Atma. And the hierarchy, of course, should be that the soul controls the intelligence, which controls the mind and the senses and the actions, etc. That should be the ideal situation. But we see that that's not the case. Often the mind and the senses go off on their own. The intelligence and the Atma are left neglected. Or the intelligence is simply utilized by the mind for its own purposes and is not engaged properly. It does not discriminate properly. So this, of course, is what happens in the material world. Neglect of the intelligence and instead indulging in enjoyment in the material world. And this leads to the position which is described in the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna says, beyond control, without even wanting it to, we engage in sinful activities. We cannot help it somehow or other. So, that is because there's no control. The intelligence does not control the mind. But that also is a little difficult to achieve. How are we going to get the intelligence controlling the mind? Well, we can say, well, let's go to the Atma. That is true, but if the Atma is also dedicated to enjoying the material world, then the whole thing's a failure. Everything is just going into sense gratification. So the intelligence doesn't really work, because if the Atma itself, which is superior, is also trying to get enjoyment in the material world, then the intelligence will simply follow after that. But Krishna also says that if you have a higher taste, you control the lower taste. So if the Atma has a higher taste, two types of taste can be there, then this can control the intelligence and the mind, etc. So higher taste can be taste for Atma, where it's described in the second chapter, where the sthiti pragya is described as taking enjoyment in the self. So one gets that taste, which is jnana. Then one can, the intelligence will control the senses and actions, etc. And the other taste, of course, is the taste derived from serving the Supreme Lord, which is actually superior. In either case, both are superior to material engagement, and these are the only things which will stop the senses from engaging in material activities. If the higher taste is there, either Atma-jnana or Bhakti. So these things will put the proper hierarchy in place.
So of the two, of course, Krishna concludes that bhakti is a superior process. One, because the taste is higher. The bliss derived from bhakti is much greater than that derived from jnana. And of course, the other point is that it is easier because by connecting with the Lord, we get the mercy of the Lord. If we do atmajnana, we don't really get the mercy of the Lord. So it's an individual endeavor, and then it becomes very difficult. So it's a longer process. So therefore, the method actually is to develop a taste for the Supreme Lord, which means that we have to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, and consequently, we have to give up the idea of enjoyment. That it's natural. If we want to serve the Lord, we have to give up the idea that I want to enjoy separately. So, to the degree that we have the bhakti, to that degree, we negate our enjoyment of the material world. So fortunately, Krishna is very merciful, and he allows us to even do a little bit of service, and still he's satisfied with that. Of course, if we do 100% service, it's more satisfying. But to the degree that we do surrender to the Lord accepts that, in spite of the fact that the other portion is all dedicated to enjoying the material world. So he accepts this partial commitment of a person. And he gives mercy to these persons. So this is how the jiva in the material world can progress, by getting this gradual development of commitment to the Supreme Lord and lessening his commitment to maya. And in this way, then everything else operates nicely. We cannot expect the intelligence to operate independently of the mind and enjoyment on its own. We do need that higher taste. The Atma has to have experience, and then the intelligence will engage properly. Otherwise, it is very, very difficult. So that is why the process of jnana also is not considered very practical, because jnana uses intelligence. We depend a lot on intelligence to come to conclusions and to control the senses, etc., rather than on taste. So this is, I said, problematic, because if we don't have a higher taste, it's very, very difficult to advance. For that reason, yoga is sometimes considered superior to jnana, because at least there's not so much dependence on the intelligence. And there is the aim of realizing Atma and getting that bliss. And so it's a practical close process for getting the bliss with less dependence on the buddhi or the intelligence. So therefore it's considered superior. So in any case, to isolate the intelligence and expect it to operate nicely and control the mind and all of this on its own is not going to work very well. On the other hand, we should not condemn the intelligence. So in Bhagavad Gita, we find that Krishna often says, engage your intelligence in me. Engage your mind and your intelligence in me. So we can engage the intelligence properly also, provided that the basis of all of that is this bhakti and our relationship with the Lord. Then we can engage the intelligence properly in trying to understand Vaishnava philosophy, etc. And through the practice of bhakti itself, the intelligence will be able to control the mind and the senses and activities in the material world. So that is the practical method of controlling the senses and getting out of this tangle of the material world. To simply expect the intelligence to do all the work on its own is not going to work. So we need a higher process than that. Since the process itself, the process of jnana is the use of intelligence to come to a conclusion, to develop one's faith, etc., and to separate the body from the Atman. Whereas in yoga, it is a physical process of meditation, etc., using pranayama, etc., stopping the thoughts in the mind, the functions of the mind. So it's a physical process, whereas the other one is the intellectual process.
Surprisingly, Ashtanga Yoga is considered higher than
Yoga. In terms of, it's a little more practical. The other point, of course, is that not all yogis, but some of them at least accept the form of the Lord, whereas many of the Gyanis reject that completely, especially the Mayavadis will reject that completely. But even the yogis, large portion of them end up also as impersonalists also, so it ultimately becomes very similar, and it's not much superior in that sense, because many of them simply end up merging into Parma or whatever, so it's equivalent of the impersonalists.
In Maharaj, can you say that
Yoga
is because there are a lot of seminars in conjunction on mind control. So bottom line of mind control is that one should change the inclination of the soul, should stop, try to stop enjoying what you do.
Yeah, well, the main idea behind mind control is that we should develop faith in Krishna. And hearing and chanting and doing service to Krishna, that will actually, that's the mind control, actually.
In the first book, it is very difficult to talk about
Krishna.
We go out and
Well, they try other processes, more difficult. Any other process of controlling the mind, they do yoga, then they're going to have to go to the forest and sit down on a deer skin, and nobody's going to do that either. And if you want to do jnana, then they're going to have to go to learn Sanskrit and then sit in some ashram and learn Vedanta for 20 years. They're not going to do that either. Otherwise, very difficult to control the mind. What we call mind control in the material world is ultimately not mind control. It is controlling the mind for sense gratification, basically. That's all it is. So it simply ends up with more karma. Intelligence directs the mind to sense, but if the intelligence itself is polluted, who will direct? Well, that's the idea. If it is polluted, then we end up in a circle because intelligence and mind act together to simply enjoy the material world. So that's the problem. That's why we see many intelligent people become criminals, because the intelligence is used for contaminated and sinful activities. And they're very good intelligence, but it's used in the wrong way. So, the only way we can control that intelligence and leave it uncontaminated is if the soul is uncontaminated. That means the soul hasn't changed its inclinations. Then the intelligence can change. But if we don't operate on the soul level, the intelligence is definitely not going to do anything. It's going to be contaminated still. And it's going to act in conjunction with the mind.
Dantra Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Swamitra Maharaj ki
jai.
Going to the Vishnu 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 Vishnu
Vishnu
Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu Vishnu V